That there is a very good sound. I'd like to celebrate that. Lots of good socializing going on today. Well, it's been absolutely a joy to go through our vacation Bible camp. It was a lot of fun. We learned tons, and we all got to experience what it was like to be on an island, which was a lot of fun. And I think what we really found is that our kids are hungry. They're hungry to learn. They're hungry to learn more about the Lord and His love, and they're receptive to it. And we're just so blessed to be part of that, to be part of what the Lord is doing, and building up the next generation and learning about His love, how to receive His love, but also to give it back too. So it's been a real blessing. But you know, as I'm part of it, you know, I was looking at all the kids. And I'm like, wow, you know, Mahalia's going to be part of this one day. I'm like, that's going to be really interesting. You know, Mahalia is it's my daughter. My daughter is 2 years old. So she turned 2 in June, and Mahalia's got this. She's got this habit. This crazy habit. Already at 2 years old, right? She's got this crazy habit where she likes to carry a lot of stuff. She likes to carry things. So I'm not sure if you've seen this with toddlers, but what she'll do is she'll go to one place in the house and she'll gather a blanket and a stuffy and a sippy cup with milk. And a stapler. No, not a stapler. I should insert something else. Maybe an action figure. And she's grabbing all these things. She's just filling her hands full of stuff. And she finds satisfaction in grabbing a bunch of stuff, carrying a bunch of things in her hands that she can hardly carry, from like point A to like point B. And it's just because she has the ability. It's like she has the ability to carry a lot of stuff, so she believes that she should carry a lot of stuff. So she grabs a lot of stuff and tries to move from one area to another. Sometimes it's from point A to the top of the stairs to the bottom of the stairs. And I'm like, Mahalia, there's no logic in this. No logic whatsoever. Sometimes she wants to grab hold of a railing and kind of go down by herself, but she can't do it because she's already holding too many things. And then sometimes she wants to go down, but so she wants to go around backwards, so she turns around and tries to go down the stairs like this, but she's still holding too many things. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm still watching this, right? I'm like, this is very interesting. I think I got to go in and figure out what's happening here. And what I discern is that when I go in and I try to remove the items, I get this response. I get a series of no's. No, no, no. Don't take my stuff. I take one, take another one. She gets frustrated. There might be some tears. And then it's pretty much over afterwards. And what I realize is that I kind of smashed her logic. I kind of destroyed it by going in there and removing all those things. Because what her destination was with all those things, like what her plan was to satisfy herself or make herself happy in doing that, was totally ruined by what I did. Now, it's interesting, though, because as much as that is maybe a child's logic or maybe an original logic for us, for a child, over time, we actually as adults have to kind of abandon and break that pattern. In life, we can be very much like that. We can go out there and have a drive to gather things. We want a lot of stuff because we have the ability to get a lot of stuff. So you have the ability to maybe get a house, get a car, maybe the boyfriend or girlfriend that you want, maybe the school that you want to go to, maybe the position that you want. And sometimes it's not just things. Sometimes it's actually people. You're working hard to keep your family together. You're working hard to make sure that everybody is okay in your extended family. You're doing all these things on your ability to keep it. And there's a stress in having everything, but also in keeping everything. So it's so funny for us, right? Because some people can be outside of a scenario where they have nothing and they're stressed about not having it. Oh, I'm stressed I don't have a car. I'm stressed out that I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend at this point in my life. Or you could be inside of it and you have a boyfriend or girlfriend and you're stressed about keeping the relationship. You're like, well, I got to do this and I got to do that to keep the relationship the way that I want it to be. And it's like there's no happy medium. Because the truth is that no matter what we try to do, and this was the logic that I broke into Mahalia right there, was that we realize that we're not really in control. As much as we feel like we're in control because we have the ability to gain things, we know in the back of our heads that we're not actually in control. And the ability to lose what we have is very apparent. It's there. We have loved ones who pass on. We have families that might be falling apart in our extended family, or maybe it's your immediate family. The ability to keep things together doesn't guarantee that things will stay together. We have to realize that actually, yeah, we need something more. This original logic of having a lot and keeping it all, it's faulty. And when it comes in contact with reality, it can hurt. Now, this summer, we're looking at the Beatitudes. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at this part in the Beatitudes. We're looking at verse 4. So verse 4 says this, and unfortunately, we don't have the slides for you, so you're going to just follow with me as best you can. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And what is happening here, we see in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus starting off his teaching ministry by telling people, this is the term for happiness. Not having everything you can get, not acquiring a bunch of stuff and getting from point A to point B with all of your stuff. That isn't the terms of being blessed. That's not God's terms. These are God's terms for being blessed. Mourning, being poor in spirit, being persecuted. These are God's terms for what blessing actually looks like. And it's totally against our original logic. You see, in this verse here, we're going to look at this together. What we're going to find out is this. We're going to find out that the value in what we're learning about in the Beatitudes isn't actually in the provision. It's not in our ability to have and to keep what we have. The actual value is in the provider. That is God's terms for being blessed. Before I continue on, what I want to do is just want to pray for us quickly, and then we'll jump into the rest of the sermon together. So if you don't mind with me, we just pray. Lord Jesus, a lot of us face loss. A lot of us have faced grief. Some of us are facing fear of loss at this point. And the struggle is real for all of us. But Lord, I know that even in the midst of this, that my words are not enough. I pray the Holy Spirit that you would comfort our hearts as we hear from your word. Pray this right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we do face the struggle of having a lot and keeping what we have, and then also the struggle of fearing to not have, fearing what we do, fearing that we're going to lose what we have, and then also the grief of actually losing what we did. This life is totally out of control. But one thing I wanted to present to us today, again, is that main point. The value is in the provider and not in the provision. That's what we can learn from Beatitudes. But what I want to do is I want to take a very careful look at this verse, at Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. And since it's very short, it's not a terribly long passage, what I'm going to do is that we're just going to take a look at the words themselves. And I love doing this. I love actually like kind of just studying the epitymology of words, just figure out what the main point is behind them. So the first word we're going to look at is blessed in this verse. So blessed are those who mourn. So if you take a look at that word blessed, in the original Greek, when it was written, the word is makarios. So makarios actually means this. It actually means super blessed, like supremely blessed. It actually means well off. And I actually like how the Amplified Version puts it. It says, Amplified Version always kind of gives you the background of the words. It'll say, blessed is happy to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation regardless of outward conditions are those who mourn. Basically, that's kind of like packing all that behind that word blessed. It's a huge, huge word, blessed. It's not just like, oh, I'm happy in the moment. It's a well-rounded, holistic view of being happy. Now, this word, like you can imagine, is linked to our next word that we're going to look at, seems absolutely ridiculous. You know, if I go to somebody who's actually grieving and I say, hey, blessed are those who are mourning. I'll put my hands around them. Blessed are those who are mourning, you know, because they will be comforted. And I just said that and walked away. Not too much comfort in those words, right? But if we take a look a little bit deeper, we're going to find out something else. Now, the word mourn, okay, the word mourn is this word in Greek. It's pentheo. Everyone say that. Pentheo. Pentheo. Pentheo means what you thought it meant. Filled with grief. That's what it means. Filled with grief. You're absolutely in despair. I want you now to think of a time when you were filled with grief. So you got that picture in your head. Did you feel, I don't know, supremely blessed? Anybody? No, I don't think you did. Did you feel well off? Probably not. I'm actually remembering this this moment when my grandmother passed away in 2014. My grandmother grew up in the Caribbean, and she came and lived with us in Ottawa, Canada. Ottawa, Canada, like I'm in the States, in Ottawa. And she came and lived with us, and I spent about 10 plus years with her, so she came and lived in our house with us, and I really got to know her very well. But she went back to the Caribbean in just, I think, like 2010, and she actually passed away there while I was here in Canada. And I'm a man. Like, I held it together, right? I was very good about it. Like, I didn't show anything, right? I was like, you know what, that happens. You know, she lived for a very long period of time. You know, she loved the Lord. She was loved by many people. It was a celebration that she passed on. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm good with that. But Deanne and I actually went home to Ottawa to visit my mom. And my mom and I, like, my mom and Deanne and I were all sitting around the table. We were just talking. And my mom shared this memory. And it was like this very insignificant memory. And I'm still a man, right? I'm still tough. And I'm sitting there at the table. And she just shared this memory. And it was like a Jenga tower. You know Jenga, right? Like with the tower and it's got the blocks and everything's like kind of teetering on the one cornerstone block. And it was like, when she shared that memory, it was like someone slipped out that block. And I just crumbled. And I don't know, like I just started weeping. I was so overwhelmed with grief. All this stuff started to come out of me. And I was like, ooh, where did that come from? And it was the proper term, cathartic. Yep, everything just kind of came out. And afterwards, I was fine. I was like, yeah, I had that moment. But I've never, ever, ever been filled with grief as much as I was in that moment, just for that split second, where I realized the loss. I felt the loss like I never did before. But let me tell you something else about that moment. Even in the midst of my grief, the presence of God was so tangible to me. It was so real. It was like God was right there in that moment. He was right there with me, experiencing the grief with me, not removing me from the situation. Right there with us in that moment. So powerful. That's what that word mourn means. He's filled with grief. And then the next word we want to look at is comforted. So comforted, for they shall be comforted. Comforted in Greek is parakleo. So parakleo actually means this, which is very interesting. It means to invite, to console, to pray, to call near. So, actually, the sense behind that use of words is that when you're grieving, God is invited in. God is called near to you. You experience His comfort. He consoles you. He intercedes for you. He's with you in that moment. That word parakleo is so interesting, too, because it actually is the root word for a description that we see in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit with the disciples, and he describes the Holy Spirit. And he describes the Holy Spirit as an, can anyone even guess? As an advocate, yeah. Describes the Holy Spirit as an advocate, as a helper. And that word translated, advocate and helper, in Greek, it's parakletos. So you see those two words are combined, right? Now, let's also get all this into consideration right now. Jesus is talking to a bunch of people on a mountainside by the Sea of Galilee, he's talking to a bunch of people who are still under the law. Right? Because Jesus hasn't died yet. His death and crucifixion hasn't happened. So he's telling all these people, you know, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Like the realization, the relief of the resurrection isn't necessarily present in their lives yet. And he's talking to them about this. And they can have a sense that God can enter into or be invited into their grief. They can have a sense of that. But the Beatitude is only a window into the gospel of grace. It's only a picture into what we actually have in Christ. So now as we're on the other side of the cross, on the other side of history, and we know in Romans it talks about how we are no longer in the flesh, but we are now in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells in me. God and I are united. How much more is God invited into a scenario when we grieve? How much more is God present for Dolores right now, Dolores Crossan? How much more present? Incredibly present, because he is with us and we are with him. What will it take for us to stop the running around, the problem solving, the blaming maybe? To stop and just say, God, I receive your affection for me. I receive the fact that you have promised that you will comfort me. Because it's been actualized in the cross. It's been actualized in us becoming a new creation and the Spirit of God living in you. It's no longer a promise of something to come. It's something that we're living in right now. He's present with us when we grieve. That's the power of God. That's grace, actually. Grace is supply. Grace is supply. The law says, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this to be blessed. Grace is, I love you, I'm here with you, I chose you before the creation of the earth to be holy and blameless in my sight. I have given you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and not only that, I'm living inside of you, I'm going to comfort you. The presence of God is with you right now. Man, that's what I want. That's real blessing. The value is not in the provision, it's in the provider. And he is more than enough to supply our need. So let's look at this verse. Let's look at this verse broken down. Okay, we're going to have some fun. So we broke down all the words, okay? So we're still looking at, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, whatever kind of translated it. So supremely blessed and well off are those who are filled with grief. Everyone's like, amen. Amen, right? Are those who are filled with grief. For their grief invites God in. The value is not in the provision. You could be grieving, you could have lost something, you could be fear of losing a girlfriend, you could be fear of losing a boyfriend, you can have fear of losing your job, you could have fear of losing your car or position or power. You could fear losing all of these things. And Jesus could have said, well, whatever you lose, I'll give you back, you know, compounded interest over weekly basis. You'll get everything back that you asked for, and then walk away. Jesus says, no, I'm going to give you better than that. I'm going to give you myself. God is invited into your grief, and he's going to be right there with you. The value is not in the provision. Again, it's in the provider. So I'm saying all these wonderful things, and you're like, oh, that's great. I'm grieving right now. How does that help me in any way, shape, or form? And I just have three points that I want to kind of go over quickly just to kind of address that. Because some of us might be dealing with that. We might be dealing with the fear of loss, or we might be dealing with loss currently. And so here's just three things that I thought might be helpful. First thing is to activate your faith. Activate your faith. Get it working for you. And the way you do this is you accept the word of God. You accept the truth. You accept that the original logic of having everything and keeping everything will make you happy. You accept that you are not in control, but you could trust the one who is. You accept that in the moment, and you do that without feeling. Because we often are quick to accept Bible verses and things from the Bible if it makes us feel good. We're always quick to accept something that somebody says if, you know, I feel right about what someone says, so I accept that. But you know what? Faith isn't necessarily about feeling. I mean, we use our feelings to perceive, to see a lot of things, but faith isn't based on that. We need to make a conscious decision at times to say that, Lord, we accept that you are in control, that your word is supreme, and I accept what your word says, that you are with me in this moment, even if I don't feel it. I accept that you do bless those who mourn and grieve, even if I don't feel it right now. And just pause and accept that before the Lord. It's such an act of faith for us to do that. And the thing is that you'll notice that the Lord will come to your need in the midst of that. You'll notice that he'll supply in the smallest of ways. I often take time, like if I have taken time in the week to pray, and I might be praying with something that's stressing me out, I'm anxious about, and I may not feel relaxed in the moment. I just kind of put it out there. I said, oh God, this, oh God, that, help me with this, help me with that. And then I go on my way, and I still don't feel relieved. But some point in the day, I'll hear a song, maybe. Or maybe I'm listening to a podcast, and there's something that somebody says. And whatever it does, it just kind of releases the stress from me. It kind of gives me clarity about the situation. And then I have some peace, and I have strength for the day. And so sometimes we're always kind of waiting for that feeling, but sometimes we need to trust that the Lord is going to provide and allow ourselves to accept, first and foremost, faith, accept by faith what the word of the Lord says. And especially in this scenario, too, that the value is actually found in the provider and not the provision. The second thing is take things one day at a time, right? Not fascinating news, but take things one day at a time. I was saying this over and over again at Vacation Bible Camp, that the past has been purchased. So what you did or didn't do to keep something that you're losing or keep something that you lost, all of what you did or didn't do has already been purchased on the cross in the past. As a believer, as someone who's chosen to follow Jesus, you accept that your past is no longer your property. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we let go of the past. We learn, but we let go of the past. We don't hold on to it anymore. And we accept that in the day today, that God has provision. His mercies are new every morning. God has a provision for today for you, that he's going to support you and help you and strengthen you in today. And we let go of tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow has enough what for itself? Has enough problems, has enough troubles of its own. So we just take it one day at a time. If you're experiencing grief, you ask for strength for today, and you just deal with today. But the next part, I think, is very important here, and this is our third point. It's let other people in. I think sometimes when we're grieving or we're in fear or anxiety about losing things, we're very, very good at making sure that we're looking strong. Like myself, I'm a man, right? Looking strong, and then someone pulls out the Jenga block and you fall apart, right? Letting other people in is very, very important. I have somebody that I always comes to mind when I think about people grieving. There was somebody I grew up with in my home church in Ottawa, and she was this lady who was very unassuming. She just had a good rapport with a lot of people, but she was very unassuming. She wasn't involved in many things. She wasn't a busybody. But she was a lady who could comfort you if you were grieving. Do you know people like that? Who just have that ability? They just have an ability to have a peace. They're not overwhelmed by people who are grieving. They're not scared or anxious to say the wrong thing or the right thing. They just have a boldness about them, and they could step into a scenario where someone is grieving, and they could just say the right stuff. And I remember I saw it maybe 3 or 4 times. I'm like, that's remarkable. What she was able to say to that individual in their grieving was so powerful, and you could see that it gave them comfort. That stuff is a gift, right? And you know people like that. But do you realize that God put those people in the body of Christ for a reason? That God has put ourselves, right, with the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of Robin, the fruits of the Spirit inside of us to give peace and love and joy to others when we're in loss or when we're in grieving? That God's actually knit us together as the body to be able to support each other so we could grow up in the fullness of Christ, right? So it's not in our best interest to not let other people in if we're grieving. If somebody is reaching out to you, take that opportunity, because you know what? We do need to activate our faith, right? Because sometimes we do need to believe that the value is still in the provider and not the provision, even though we've lost something. It's hard to believe that. So we need other people to reinforce the truth. We also need other people to help us take it one day at a time. You need someone to help you journey through something that you're grieving or something you're afraid of losing. You need that. You need other people to come alongside with you and pray with you. You need a youth group. You need a youth group of fellow believers who are around your age who understand what it's like to be a believer in high school and how troubling it is and how hard it is, no matter what kind of school you go to. Not everybody is following Jesus at the same with the same earnestness. And so we need people who earnestly follow Jesus to be alongside us, encouraging us in the faith. Youth, you need that in this youth group. Young families, you have your small groups. You need your small groups. You need them. God put them there for a reason to bless you. You continue to bless them as they bless you, and we will become strengthened in the body of Christ, right? So anyway, I've said a lot. But just in conclusion, I want to say this one thing. That in the topic of Greece, not the movie, in the topic of grief, God experienced grief on your behalf. God experienced grief on your behalf. God experienced loss on your behalf, and you were worth it. You were absolutely worth it. God gave his only begotten son to die a horrible death for you. Gave his life. And on the third day, he was raised again for our righteousness, so that we could be made new in Christ, so that his spirit could live in us, because God wouldn't put his spirit in a dirty vessel. God put his spirit in a clean vessel. God made you absolutely clean. He sacrificed his son. He experienced loss for you. So in your grieving, do not assume that God is absent and he does not care. If you're experiencing fear of loss and you're afraid of the future, do not hesitate to turn to the Lord. You don't have to go to him. I know we use words like that, like, oh, I have to go to him. Like, he's over there, and so I got to go there. I got to go from point A to point B, and when I do all these things, then you'll be there and comfort me. No, no, no. God made you clean, put a spirit in you, so he can be right there with you in the moment, so that when you have grief, he is invited in more so. He is delighted to come alongside you. God understood the struggle of original logic, of the I must have and I must keep, and if I do all these things, then I will be happy. But he came with the Beatitudes and he said, no, these are the terms. These are the terms to be blessed. You want to be blessed? You have to understand this. The value is not in the provision. It's not in what you have, but the value is in the provider. He can supply your need. We need to remember to activate our faith if we're going through these things. We need to remember to take it one day at a time. We have to let other people in. And we have people here who love you in this Country Hills Church. We have people who love you, who know you, and are willing to reach out if that's you today. But the truth is that if you are here today and you know people who need support too, go ahead. Be who you are. Be the body of Christ. Step out in boldness. And give comfort to others as well. Let's pray together. Still praying? Okay, that's good. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. We are just so blessed to know you, so blessed to have you, and so blessed that you chose us, that you cleaned us up, and you came to live inside of us. We don't have to go to a temple to worship you. We don't have to go to a church building. to worship you. We don't have to do anything to know and sense your presence and be comforted. You are here right now. So on everyone's behalf right now, I receive your love, your care, your affection, and your blessing. And I pray that you would bless this congregation. I pray that you would empower them by the power of your Spirit to step out in boldness and be who you created them to be, a blessing to their schools, a blessing to their workplaces, a blessing to their friends and neighbors, a blessing to their family members who they are estranged from, to be a light in a dark place. I give you all the honor and praise. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. It's been such a blessing to have each and every one of you and to share. This is a great opportunity for you guys. If you have guests,